Let's open our Bibles tonight, going back into Galatians. And the Lord is beginning to bring us to a conclusion of this. And I don't believe we'll finish tonight, but again, I'm just thanking Him for the marvelous grace that He's been bringing through His faithfulness and in His wonderful Word. But let's go ahead and start reading. The sixth chapter, we'll begin the 11th verse. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Praise the Lord. In that 15th verse, in that 11th verse, as we see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. This refers back to Galatians 4:15. It gives us certainty, brothers and sisters, of Paul's poor eyesight. It's in that verse, it's reminding us in the 15th verse of the 4th chapter of the early care that these Galatians had for Paul. How much they appreciated Paul. How much they gloried in the truth and were thankful to God that this was a vessel that was preaching to them the truth in love. And in that 15th verse it says, you would have even plucked out your own eyes and give them to me. They saw that need. They were encouraged and touched by the word of God. And they loved Paul. They loved that messenger that was bringing them the word of God. But there was so much delusion. There was the false brethren that had come in, these Judaizers, this legality. Right after that in the 16th verse, he says, now have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth. You see how quickly that can come. And brothers and sisters, that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to divide. And he divides with lie. He divides with error. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that he's always there with his truth. He's always forever faithful and true. And grateful that the love of God still encouraged Paul through all of this. That, Lord, I've been touched by you to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, this poor eyesight that Paul had, we understand, is the result of that wondrous moment on the road to Damascus. When that bright light shone all around him. Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And I appreciate so quickly as he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how quickly the transaction was made. I'm so grateful to God how he called out to the Lord. But in that blinding light, it impaired his natural vision. Said that when he came to, he couldn't see any man. But praise be to God, he saw the man. He saw the light, didn't he? Hallelujah. And he got the keenest of visions. He had eyes that had the potential now of being enlightened with understanding. He had eyes that were given to him beyond the natural eyes that would have the ability to peer into the depths of the truth. Eyes that truly survey nothing but the cross. And as it says there in Acts 9, after 3 days, after that blinding moment, that as Ananias went into him and laid hands upon him, the infilling of the Holy Ghost came. And praise be to God, the scales fell off of his eyes. Thank you, Jesus. You talk about a vision, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you something. At that moment, he had vision that could see all truth. Rejoicing with a brother today that's newer to the meeting. Talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I ask you, and it's on the hearts of the family of God here often, pray for those needing that infilling. Pray for those that have that infilling, that We stir up the gift, praise God, that is in you by the laying on of my hands. And I'm so thankful to God. It's the same hands all the time. It's the hands of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, this verse, as we start out here, is a very precious verse. It's very intimate. Paul's great care for them was so great that even though he couldn't see, even though he says it with such a large letter that I write to you, notice he didn't pawn it off on somebody else. He didn't necessarily have somebody helping him. There was such an ache, there was such an encouragement in his heart that the Spirit wrote through Paul. And this, brothers and sisters, is truly a pastor's heart. I'm thankful to God that it truly is the effectual brotherly love, and a brotherly love that desired the triumphant first trump rapture for these brothers and sisters in Christ. He wanted them to have God's best. He was encouraged of the Lord because of the love of God. It wasn't of Paul, but I do want to be a vessel of the love of God. Now, I know a lot of times we can grow a little bit weary, but as we read, don't grow weary in well-doing. Paul was very weary. We know that the things that he went through, but he didn't murmur. He didn't try to ever put himself up there that, look at all the sacrifice I made. Oh, no, it was always because of the grace of God that was with me. And he wanted that grace of God poured on, magnified in his life, causing him to will and to do of the Lord's good pleasure, causing him to do things way beyond himself. And praise the Lord, that transformation from glory to glory into the very image of him caused that life to say, I am ready to be offered. How wondrous. And what an encouraging testimony to us, brothers and sisters, that, you know, we're weary. I can see it. You can see it on me. Praise be to God. We're battled. Praise be to God. We're warriors. And praise be to God, by His grace, even good soldiers that endure the hardness. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine that? That God has made that happen in our life, again, all because of the love of Christ. And I am motivated and quickened in heart, even convicted when I read this, brothers and sisters, what the love of God can do in our lives. Only what the love of God can do in our lives. The same love that brought you here tonight to hear a Bible study. The same love, praise God, that causes you to awake or to call out on His name. Oh, what the love of God can do. It causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And it causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure, even to ones who don't deserve it. And I hope you raise your hand. I didn't deserve it either. But for the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? God help us never to be puffed up at any moment. That praise the Lord God. Let me have that broken heart and contrite spirit every moment. That thankfulness that pours out. That, as we're going to read tonight, that all glory go to you. That praise God. You're increasing, Lord. You must increase. And I must decrease. Now, this is such a wonderful portion of Scripture, because the love of God is even breaking out more and more. His passion, the Holy Spirit's encouragement to these precious hearts. But yet Paul does not withhold anything from them. He preaches the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that chastens. It's the Word of God that convicts. It's not Paul and anything about him. It's always the sharper than any two-edged sword. It discerns. It cuts right to the point. Praise be to God, Lord, it's the one that opens up my heart to receive more of your truth. So in that, the 12th verse says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. I love how the Lord says that. They constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. So listen to these words, a show in the flesh. It's a show. It really is a show. It's all about themselves. And brothers and sisters, we all have been there at one time or another. And God help us to be quickened by His grace. Lord, keep me from that. Keep me from myself. Let me magnify Christ in me the hope of glory. It's so wonderful, brothers and sisters, but these ones were all about themselves. They openly put down one another. They were out to judge one another. They were trying to rain morals on people as opposed to letting the true change change a life. And the only thing that can change your life from glory to glory is the grace of God. And that's it. The only way you'll grow is in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, you think about the mature sons of God. I believe we've gathered here tonight by God's grace because we want to grow in the Lord. I do. I need to be strengthened. How about you? My goodness, I got to be eaten. And thank you, Jesus, that I'm eaten on the bread of life. And it strengthens us, brothers and sisters. And these are the ones that desire to grow up into Christ in all things. But the mature sons of God rejoice in that Christ in you. I don't rejoice in your flesh. I'm thankful for the evidence of the work of grace in your life. And it's evidenced with the fruit of the Spirit, praise be to God. But the fruit of the Spirit always magnifies our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All glory to Him. And that is what is so wonderful about this, brothers and sisters. These are the ones that rejoice in Christ in you, the hope of glory. They rejoice in from glory to glory into His image. See, the message of growing in grace, brothers and sisters, is not me. It's Christ that liveth in me. May we always understand that. May we always rejoice that it's the life of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we said earlier, He must increase, but I must decrease. I don't know how much clearer it could be. Let Him do it. He's beautiful. He's magnificent. Praise God, if you ever wanted to please the Father, magnify the Son. Oh, magnify the grace of God. Hallelujah in me. But there's always the same trait, the same pattern in these that openly make show of the flesh. And that trait or pattern, brothers and sisters, is they do not teach truth in love. They don't. They do not preach Paul's precious gospel of grace. But they sure will try to get you to keep those commandments. They sure will try to tell you that you must have a bulletproof testimony. You will be around them and you will hear the word, "Oh, you must be accountable." I found by His wondrous grace that He does that job far better than I could ever do it. I'm thankful to Jesus. He does that job so much better than you could ever do it for me or any other brother or sister in the Lord. And the way that that happens, brothers and sisters, is on our knees. We lift up one another in Christ. I'm not here to preach at all that we would disparage the gospel in any way, shape, or form. I don't want to do anything that would be against the praise and honor and glory of the truth. But I want us to know this very well. I want you to know, written all throughout the Word of God, over and over and over, the times often, and probably most notably, of the greatest growth and the greatest intimacy with God is in our greatest of failures. You've been reading a different Bible than I have, if you don't agree with that. God does it every single time. It's me. It's me, son. And I assure you, brothers and sisters, as much as you're looking at me today, and I'm looking back at you today, and more importantly, that His word is true, we will give over to unbelief. We will fail. It's just a matter of time. But I'm thankful to stand here tonight and rejoice with you. The grace of God never fails. As we rejoiced early on, He that is faithful and true. I'm so grateful to God that those everlasting arms hold me. I'm so thankful to the Lord that nothing can separate us from His love. But brothers and sisters, those that put on the show, those that have confidence in the flesh, my heart goes out to them because they missed it. They missed the best part. If the Lord tarry, will come to that 16th verse where it says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. When you walk in works, when you walk in self-righteousness, when you walk in self-effort, there is no peace. Because you're counting upon yourself. And if you're honest with yourself tonight, you know you fail regularly, always, continually, and you have no hope but God. But God. And I'm thankful that we rejoice because, see, this gives praise and glory and is pleasing to the Father. Because it is impossible to please the Father without faith. And the faith is in the life that now lives in us. It's the faith, praise God, in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. The simplicity of that I no longer live, but it is Christ that liveth in me. That's peace. That's rest. That's absolute contentment. That thank you, Jesus, it's your life. Praise God to yield, as we'll read in a moment, to the new creation, who I am in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, in this, brothers and sisters, we give God all the glory. But you see, those that glory in the flesh and parade around with more satisfaction in the things that they do or don't than the love of God, they've completely missed it. And listen to what I just said. They glory more in what they do in their works than loving the Lord. They become so involved with their testimony, their appearance, that they've completely missed the best part, weeping, anointing the feet of Jesus with our tears, and gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord, thank you. And thank you, and thank you. And God help us to never get up from that wonderful place at His feet that always tells Him, Lord, thank you. Now, I am thankful that God brings us this way, but I am grateful that He is showing this, that, you know, those that want to go this way of the flesh, those that want to parade and show their confidence in the flesh, the reason they do it is because they want to avoid suffering persecution for the cross. They want to avoid it. They don't want anything to do with glorying in the cross. They want to glory in themselves. And in glorying in themselves, they don't really get it. They do not want to suffer with Christ. You cannot take up the cross, brothers and sisters, out of duty. You cannot take up your cross out of service. We take it one way, the same way He did, love. You take up the cross because of the love of Jesus. You take up the cross because of the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross. It's the same life. Thank you, Lord, that you live in me. It's because I've received your love and I love you. And when we receive the love of God, and we continue to receive the love of God, brothers and sisters, it's amazing that, you know, the absolutely purpose of the Word of God is that we would know the love of Christ and how much that grows in us. It grows more and more, that the greatest expression of love becomes suffering together with Him. Can you imagine that? I see these couples and one might get sick. One needs help. They're not necessarily naturally the same person they used to be, but that love never failed. And I just sit there in awe. And they care and they don't. And my mom's not here tonight, but how she cared for my daddy. He couldn't do the things that they used to do together and a lot of different, but she was together with him. That's all that mattered. And I remember her saying, I was so thankful, honey, that he departed and went on high. But I sure loved just being with him. Even when he was kind of cranky and different things like that. Isn't that something, how long-suffering the Lord is with you? Praise God. Now, that is the greatest expression of love, brothers and sisters, that Christ works in us, is that we are happy to suffer together with him. That only suffering together with him is in the cross. Did you know that? See, it has to be in the cross. There can't be any other suffering because that's the suffering that he has given us. That wonderful suffering for grace and truth in our lives. I think about, as I read through this portion of Scripture there in Luke 18, the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. That Pharisee walked by and just admired himself. Oh, I give my tithes, I observe this, I do that, and I'm this good person, and man, am I glad I'm not like you. And all that publican could do was strike his chest and bow his head and say, Lord, have mercy on me. And he was the one that was saved. He was the one that was encouraged. He was the one, praise God, that were partake in the eternal riches of Christ. For neither they themselves, the 13th verse, who are circumcised keep the law. Listen to that. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Even though they set out to do it, they can't do it. But desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. Boy, that's a whole big mess, isn't it? Flesh just glories in flesh. No matter who else's flesh it is. That stinking, rotten, dirty, despicable thing to the Father. But brothers and sisters, what this is saying here is they're just a bunch of hypocrites. It's saying here that nobody can keep it except Christ. I think of Paul, as he said to them finally, let me tell you something, if we're going to start boasting, I'm going to boast. He did that there in Philippians 3. He said, you know, I was more successful at keeping all this stuff than any of you. But because I was the most successful of keeping up this than any of you, I was the one who failed most miserably. I, matter of fact, the chief of sinners. Isn't that something? Praise God. See, Jesus said it clearly in Matthew 23:3. He says it to them, these are the ones that say and do not. All smoke. And praise God, no substance. It has to be Christ. Turn with me to Acts 15:10. In Acts 15:10, it so sweetly tells us, now therefore, why tempt ye God? See, we don't need to be doing this. And this is precious because this is Peter. He got encouraged in the Lord, didn't he? Thanks be to God, he received this wonderful grace doctrine. And he said, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? I've been there and done that. And I know I was wrong. Don't do it. So why tempt ye to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? They couldn't do it. It was impossible for them to do. Now turn over to Romans chapter 3. And in that precious 27th verse, we've been back and forth in there. And I pray, God, the Lord, just inscribe this, write this upon our hearts, brothers and sisters, that we understand that this is it. Listen to these words. If we ever think that there's anything in our flesh, anything that we could do, as Brother Hill used to say, if I could even clip that little teeny pinky nail, he would have died in vain. He would have died in vain. Listen, where is boasting then? It is excluded. It doesn't even exist. It's gone because there is no boasting. By what law? Of works? Nay. Here it is, but by the law of faith. It's believing. Praise God, believing the word of God. Believing that He abides faithful, believing that he cannot deny himself, believing that Christ liveth in me, believing that it's the seed that remaineth. That's what it is. It's believing. Therefore, we conclude, and what a conclusion it is, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Lord, I believe, and it's done. It's done. The transformation has been made from death to life everlasting. And it is a chasm that no one can go back across. Hallelujah. I am so thankful to the Lord. You talk about peace. That's the peace. Praise God. That I have peace with God. I have peace with God. See, I can't go into the peace of God until I understand and truly accept and rest in that I have peace with God. And that nothing can change that. Because I'm his son. The life of Christ, that same life, that's what he sees living in me. Because that's what does live in us as we accept Christ as our personal Savior. So, clearly then, the only thing we bear, brothers and sisters, are encouraged to do is grace. And I am so thankful in bearing grace. It says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What a truth. What a precious privilege to lean upon Jesus, to trust him for everything. That, Lord, even when I believe not, man, you abide faithful. Always, you cannot do anything other than that. And brothers and sisters, that's the heart-wrenching conviction, isn't it? To say, Lord, reign in me. I know you live in me, but reign. Cause me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help me not to try to devise my plans and order my steps, because I cannot. Those are the paths of destruction. Those are the ways that the enemy leads us around. Confusion, bitterness. That's not who we are. We're children of the light. Praise God. And that's who we are. Now, as I read this, I pray you're convicted as well, too. I don't want to do no glorying in my flesh. There's only one glorying that better go on, and that's in Christ and his precious cross. For there be no glory but of him, because he is all glory. And there it is that we read right there in the 14th verse. But God forbid. God forbid. Help me, Lord. I need your grace all the time. I don't want to turn from the way, the truth, and the life, the grace of God. Hallelujah. The rule. I don't want to be distracted. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, that's awesome. Isn't that wonderful? Save in the cross. And why is that? Because that's the finished work. That's what absolutely pleased the Father, obedient unto death, becoming sin for them, son, and you knew no sin. You're going to be utterly alone. And as the Lord, as I mentioned, hit my heart so sweetly with that, God knows him as God because they're in the Trinity. We understand him as man, because we've lived in this body. But only he knows what it is to be Savior. Only he knows what it is to be utterly alone. Oh, our precious Lord. But we glory in the cross because the debt was fully paid. Because he became the ransom for us. That merely by the mustard seed of faith, that all my sins are not just forgiven, they're forgotten. Oh, what a Savior. Don't you glory that you are accepted in the Beloved? Don't you sing praises to Him that the atonement has been made? Aren't you grateful to God that He is always calling to you, whom He loves, and His tender chastening? I will not leave you. Come on, Lord, give me some space. Nor forsake you. Oh, I'm a jealous God. I love you with godly jealousy. You're mine. You're my son. I bought you with a price. The precious blood of my son. You are not your own. You can act like a dog, a wild animal in the field, whatever it might be. But you're always my son. Hallelujah. Now, there then is no boasting except in Christ. Don't you love to boast in Jesus? As Brother Hill used to say, I'm proud of the gospel of Christ. Oh, I'm so proud of the gospel of Christ. I'm so thankful that His banner over me is love. He ravishes our hearts with this, brothers and sisters. And again, this is because it's the life of Jesus in us. We take no credit for this. These tears that are shed is because of the grace of God. These, thank God, spiritual emotions, the spiritual calling out, this wrenching, it's because of Christ that liveth in me. I'm so grateful. Because even in the barren times, I know that that life is still there. Just like we sang tonight, and the Lord just set it up so sweetly. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Son, I don't care how you feel. I don't care what you're thinking, in a way. I don't care what just happened. You're going to live by the faith of the Son of God, and that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Because that's all my son is. Son. Oh, he convicts our hearts to rise up. Oh, my goodness. Praise his name. But I'm thankful tonight, brothers and sisters, for the grace of God that has touched our lives. And really touched our lives, that I believe I can speak in spirit, in the unity of the Spirit, that the height of pleasure for us, of who we are in Christ, is to give glory to Him. Aren't you thankful? Are you growing up and not glorying in your achievements anymore? I'm proud of Christ in you. I'm so thankful for the transformation of the sons of God. And again, that's just Christ in me that is. But by God's grace as your pastor, the eyes of my understanding have been enlightened to see the transformation of the sons of God. There's nothing greater. You're growing up in Jesus. Oh, that man I hope to be. I glory in that man. It's becoming your reality. It wasn't just seeing it afar off. It's not just beholding the glory anymore to you. That's mine. It's mine, mine, mine. All is mine. You coming boldly? Praise God. Now, to praise Him, brothers and sisters, for His grace. I'm so thankful to God that He divinely has gathered us here tonight, and each time we gather in His name, we praise Him for His grace. Amen. To thank Him again and again for His tender mercies. To thank Him that now we're the sons of God. To thank Him that nothing can separate us from the love of God. To thank Him, champion of our faith. I love that. Complete victory. That life that now lives in me is more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us. Thank You for Your undying love for me. Let's go ahead and read 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. That means you're awestruck. You just sit and look at that beautiful Lamb. I want to touch His hands. Those whole pierced hands. To touch that precious wounded side. His pierced brow. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I mean, that's just so beyond when you really think of who you are but for God. Therefore the world knows us not. Now do you get it? While you're passed by, looked over a lot of times? Doesn't matter. I know who knows me. I know who I'm known of. Hallelujah. But whom the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. There's your answer. And I'm still thankful to God. Sometimes I get a little bit bewildered that people don't know the gospel of Christ. But I understand. But for the grace of God. Behold, now are we the sons of God. And here you go, brothers and sisters. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know. See, all we do is we say, but we know. That when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him. We shall see Him as He is. Now, I think we can go back to verse 14. I think we're ready for the second half of verse 14. By whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now see, that's 2 Corinthians 5:14. And I'm going to just say one thing. Wow, what a love story. Absolutely, what a love story. To thank Him again for what He's done. Praise God that this entire world, He died for the sins of all men. That He would that all men be saved, that He is no respecter of person, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Praise God for the beautiful Lamb. Praise God for this precious Savior and His life. Praise God that we have died to the world in Christ. And I'm not from here. How about you? That my citizenship is in heaven. That right now I am seated in the heavens in Christ. I think we just read, it doth not appear. Because we know. We know. There's no guesswork here. Because it's the Word of God. See, because grace, brothers and sisters, causes us to truly live and rejoice in the truth of Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's, praise God, absolutely beyond comprehension, naturally speaking, but by faith, praise God for the simplicity in Christ. Amen? Amen. Should put a smile on your face. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Yes, so simple. See, I am crucified with Christ. I am dead with him. And in that precious surrender and that truth living in me, I can now live his life. And you know what living the life of Christ is? Dying daily. Oh, yeah. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. How wonderful that I may know him. Do you want to know him? Oh, a lot of people say, oh, I want to know him more and more. Do you really want to know him? Well, here's how you're going to know him. Here is how you're going to know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, everybody loves that one. Oh, the power of his resurrection. Nothing could keep him down. Woo! Awesome. I've got that. Amen. Oh, it goes on, huh? Yep. And the fellowship of his sufferings. And it even gets better. Being made conformable unto his death. You talk about a ready-to-be-offered life. Because if it's ever going to be that you get to verse 11, all of verse 10, by God's grace, was sown in our lives. It's true. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Oh my goodness. You talk about a reaching, a pressing. And that's not of myself. I hope you know that's passion and passion and passion and passion. It's I love you, Lord. By God's grace, I see how much you love me. I am enlightened to the love of Christ. I understand the plan. Praise God, the provision, the power. Lord, I believe. And thank you, Jesus. I'm not counting anything that I've attained it. Oh, no, I haven't apprehended it. But I'm sure trusting you to do it in me. Because you will perform it. You haven't brought me this far for nothing. Do you have that confidence in Christ? I pray we do. I pray it's not one bit in ourselves because we're sadly mistaken, and we'll miss it. And then finally, brothers and sisters, in that 15th verse, we realize the only thing that matters is him. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. The only thing that there is but a new creation, the new man. It's no longer I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. The simplicity of the gospel of Christ. Are you counting his life in you faithful? Do you have confidence in the life that lives in you to believe the word of God? Do you have confidence in the life that lives in you? Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's not some far off strengthening. It's this life that's quickened your life, Lord Jesus, in me. It's all powerful. It's all powerful. And I'm so thankful to the Lord that by his grace that we're encouraged to live by faith. How wonderful is the Lord of God that we are born of his Spirit, that again, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I'm so thankful as I read this verse. See, I can't add anything to it. I can't take anything away from it. He's perfect. He's all in all. He's altogether lovely. And I'm so thankful that it is his body, even as the church of believers. He's the head, and he's placed us in his body. It's him. Can you imagine that? It's him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Again, his will. Again, his purpose. Again, his plan. Again, his provision. Again, his power. He's laid it all out there. This is no effort thing. This is faith. Lord, you will perform the good work which you've begun. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Isn't that awesome? He's writing it. And here it is. This is the faith. Unchanging. The same yesterday, today, and forever. That pattern of love is the same pattern that's written all over the full overcomer in Christ. It's never changed. It's Paul's gospel. It's the one that judges the secrets of the hearts of men. Amen. Let's close with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17. And in Jesus' name, may this live and be sincere in our hearts. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, even that one dirty, rotten one, even that one that didn't do me very good, even that brother that took me out and left me to die. Come on. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's stand and be dismissed.